He is for you, not against you. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to start a brand new series called Come Hell or High Water. Some of you need to have that kind of faith. Come hell or high water, God is for me. His promises and his words are for you. Amen? Amen. Boy, y'all are a noisy bunch today. You are a noisy bunch. I like it. This is the word of the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. By his divine power, he has given you, I want to say you, he has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to look at that. I want you to examine that. I don't want it to be, hey, I'm in church. I want you to get your notepads. I want you to get the app. I want you to write this down and let this come alive in you. That these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature to escape the world's corruption. That means it's rotting, it's decaying. Anything on this planet is decaying. You escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Look at your neighbor and say, come hell or high water, you will overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell them that. Say, come hell or high water. I know some of you think you're cussing, but you go ahead and say it. Amen. That's all right. We'll give you a special dispensation if you think that's cussing. Now, I want you to see something very clear about what God's word just said. He said these verses are telling us, it didn't say that he is going to give us everything we need. It didn't say he's going to give it to us. It says he has already given us everything we need, period. Didn't say he's going to give it. He says you already have it. It's already in you. God's provision for us is found in his promises of what he promised you when you chose to follow Jesus Christ by faith. How many Jesus followers do we have in this room? Hold your hand up real high and don't be shy about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, amen. Then if that is true, then he is telling you that every single thing that you are in need of right now, he says it's already yours. Not that he's going to give it to you, he's already given it, period. So what do you need? What do you need? He said everything's already yours. And that's the reason why I say come hell or high water. His promises are already yours. It's already a done deal. It's already a done deal. In fact, I got a promise for you out of Isaiah 43. The Lord said, I want you to read this. Because I said, Lord, come hell or high water. I mean, we're talking about hell is fire that comes against God's people. High water, you feel like you're going to be overtaken and drowned. And he said, yeah, I'll read this to them. Isaiah 43, 1. This is for somebody. He says, don't be afraid. Anytime you see fear, that is not Jesus. That is not the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, you pointed out one person, the author of fear, and his name is Satan. If you're afraid of something right now, afraid your kids are not going to make heaven and go to hell, afraid you're not going to have the supply that you need, afraid that you're not going to get the job, afraid that your marriage won't be restored, afraid that you'll never love again or be loved again, afraid you're going to die, afraid you're not going to live life the way you want it. He says, anytime you see fear, there's only one person behind it, because Jesus says, my perfect relationship with you casts out every ounce of fear. Whatever you're afraid of, I'm going to tell you, there's one person behind it, and his name is Satan. What are you afraid of? Afraid I'm going to be alone. What are you afraid of? He says, don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be what? That's too weak for me today. I will be what? That'd be great if you were Presbyterians, but he says, I will be what? Now we're talking. I hope you all at home were as loud as this bunch is here today. Amen. I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is a promise from God. Come hell or high water, you do not need to be afraid. So today I'm going to share with you two truths. In this series, we're going to go through the promises of God. Holy Spirit said, take my people through the promises of God. You hold on, you cling to, you will not be burned and you will not be consumed. Might have a little smoke smell on you. Might get a little wet, but I'm with you. You're mine. Can somebody give God just some praise right now? Just break open the atmosphere. Come on. Just break open the atmosphere, everybody. Just break it open. Create the environment we want. Create the environment you want right now. Create it. Don't let the devil create it. You create it. God inhabits the praise of his people. And I may just be giving announcements and just say, start praising him. We're going to create the environment in which God can operate. He inhabits the praise of his people. So before I get to this first point, why don't we start praising him for the first point before we even talk about the first point. Come on, let's just praise him for it. God, your word is going to come alive inside your people. Don't mess with the people of God. Do not mess with the people of God. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with a woman of God. Don't mess with a man of God. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. And I stopped drinking Red Bull a long time ago, so that's not what it is this morning. That stuff's bad for you. Number one. What he's trying to tell you, and this is going to be 2 Peter 1:3-4 is going to be our overarching scripture this whole series. But number one, I want you to see this, is that you have the power. Come on, say it. I got the power. You've got the power. Hey, I know the feeling when you feel like I just don't think I can go again. I don't think I can smile. I don't think I can go through this. I just don't know I can. I'm telling you, he told you, if you're my child by faith, you've got all the power you need. And power is not what you feel. Power is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ Almighty inside of you. So look what he says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to break this down. It says, by his, so it's not yours. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living godly. First of all, I want you to see this. It is not his power. It is not your power. It is his power that is operating within you. Don't go out here and say, Pastor Sam was on fire and he preached good. This is not my power. It is not my body. It is not my voice. It is not my spirit. It is the spirit of the living God. And it goes the same for you. Isn't it amazing? You get a pay raise and you think you're a stinking genius. You think everything I touch is gold. Boy, don't even say that. Everything you have, you are. Is from his power inside of you. I love what 2 Corinthians, I'm gonna OD you on the word today. And I pray it doesn't just become letters. I pray it just starts going boom. Yes, yes, yes. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, We now have this light shining in our hearts. That's when you became saved. Some of you aren't saved yet. You haven't given your life to Jesus. The power of God's going to come into you. But this is what he says. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. So don't even say, boy, he must have studied good this week. I did, but this is all him. Boy, wasn't that music good? It was all him. Man, I tell you, I wish it's all him. He says, this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Anything you're able to do, any talent, but boy, I tell you what, I'm just such a great athlete. I know you worked out, but I'm telling you, everything comes from his great power. Anything you're able to do, don't even begin to believe your press releases. Don't even buy it. The bad ones too, don't even buy it. Everything you have comes from his power. So now can we just take a break for a moment and let's praise him for the great power that is not your ability. It is the power of Jesus Christ in you. Some of you at home right now need to start praising God. Get up off the bed of self-pity and say, it is God's power in me and not myself. And here's the deal about this. Here's the deal. The same power of Jesus Christ's nature operates in you if you claim him as Savior and Lord through faith. Did you hear what I just said? Every nature of Jesus Christ you have access to inside of yourself even now. Let's go to the Word of God. I'm going to OD you on the Word again. Say, I don't have the power to overcome this addiction. I can't overcome this pornography. You start lifting up your voice and say, pornography, you do not have a place in me. I have every bit of power to take authority and dominion over you right now because the nature of Jesus Christ came in me when I asked him to be my Savior and Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Ephesians 1:19 says this, I also pray that you will understand. See, some of us don't have an understanding. You got to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us, say for me, for you, who believes him. How many of you believe him today? Look at this. He says, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at the right hand in the heavenly realms. He is saying the same divine nature of Jesus Christ and the Spirit that took a dead body and rose from the dead, you have access if you believe in him and understand it is yours. You are not a weak person. You are a person that is weak, full of the power of God. So what are you saying to me, Pastor Sam? I say, you have the power to walk in victory over the sin, the addiction. I'm telling you, you have the power in you to be freed from homosexuality. I'm telling you, you have the power to be freed from cocaine. You have the power to be freed from your lying spirit. You have the power to be freed from the depression. You have the power to be set free from the sexual abuse. You have the power to walk in authority. Jesus said, when you believe in me and you start understanding, you'll start walking in that power day by day. Are you hearing this? You have the power to do great works. You say, well, I wish I could do what they do. But that may not be your gift, but you have a gift from God to do something great. You do. It's great from God. Do you know that? You have the power to do great works. Do you know you have the power to do great wonders? Do you know you don't need to be afraid to ask someone, could I pray for you in your grief right now, in your pain, in your loss? Do you know you have the power to start praying for that neighbor who's got a prognosis that is terminal, that you can say, can I pray that God can heal you? Some of you are so afraid because you're afraid, what if they don't get healed? It's not your responsibility to heal them because it's not your power and it's not your formula. It is God working through you. You just need to have the faith to start praying and doing it. Why are so many Christians laying on their backside and not using the power that they have access to? Granny, you go over there and you pray, can I pray with you? You don't have to preach like me. People be turned off by my preaching. But they're not turned off by a little grandma who says, can I pray for you? When you start praying, you have the power within you from the same resurrected power resurrected Jesus is inside of you. And it says he has given. Everybody say given. That Greek word there literally means that he grants it, he gifts it, or he bestows it on his believers. You have access to it. In the Greek, that verb in the Greek, it's a perfect passive participle, meaning that in the past and in the present, God permanently bestows this power in and through his believers who will understand it and grow in it. It's not something, please, grandma, papa, teenager, please, don't go, well, that was stories from the Bible. Quit making these bedtime stories with Jesus out of the Bible. Stop making these fairy tales that there's some antiquated story on a piece of onion paper that is not real for right now in 2021 for you. I am telling the power of God is in you. I'm telling the power of the Spirit is inside of you. Start believing, start understanding, start reaching, start grabbing, start believing for it. I would listen to this sermon over and over and over till you are convinced of it. Somebody say amen. And he says, you have everything. And we read the translation from NLT. It says, for godly living. But many translations says, he gives you everything for life and godliness. So what is life throwing at you right now? What is life throwing at you? Got a bad boyfriend? Dumped you for somebody else? Yeah, he was ugly anyway. He ain't going nowhere. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. Well, they dumped me on the job, said I wasn't performing well. You ask God to begin to reveal to you, show you, make you the kind of person that everybody says, we want you. He says, I'm giving you everything you need for living the life that's been thrown at you and to live godly so a world is convinced, I want what that lady has, I want what that kid has, I want what they have. God's supply of spiritual power for us never fails for the Christ follower. It never fails for the Christ follower. Never fails. Everybody say it, never fails. Well, then why do I feel like I'm failing? Here's the deal. God's supply has never failed for me or for you. However, I have distanced myself from the divine source when I need to be getting close to it. How many of you love your cell phone? How many of you love using a cell phone? How many of you love using a cell phone? How many of you hate using it sometimes? We have this love-hate relationship. You know when I really hate it? Is when I see those little bars start going down. There's a spot going to my house. I don't care who you are. We have all this technology in the world, but I'm telling you, your voice drops out, my voice drops out. I want to throw the phone because all I want to have is just, did you say yes or no? It happens every time. There is a dead spot, and the signal just goes bloop, just like that. You know why? Because there's a tower missing. How many of you have ever driven, and all of a sudden you're watching it, and you know this particular place where you drive, and the signal starts going down? You can't hear anything. You can't talk to anything. It's because you're distancing from a signal. I'm telling you, it is the same way with the Spirit of God, is that the more you distance through your disobedience, the more we distance with a bad attitude, the more we distance and we don't say, what does God's word say? The more we distance and let bitterness and offense get in us over something a preacher said, the more you distance yourself from it and you allow pain and you allow the past and you let the abuse to continually be that wedge between you and the voice of the Spirit, you cannot tap into that divine source. The more we allow the doubt, the more we allow the voices of the giants to prevail, we distance ourselves from the source. But how many know the name of the Lord is a strong tower, not a cell tower. It is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it, and you're going to find safety. You're going to find the voice of God. You're going to find the strength to stand. Oh, my goodness. And everything you need, that power is in you. Everybody say, it is in me. I know you got more in you than that. This is one of those times when I lift my voice and shout. There's something about that today. Say, it is in me. It's in me. When you were born again into the family of God, when you were saved, Jesus by faith, say, I believe he's the Son of the living God. He's my Savior. When you came into the family of God through faith in Jesus, you were born again complete. Totally complete. Here's how I know it, because I look at the picture in the natural realm. When a normal baby is born, it is born with all the equipment he or she needs for life. The only thing needs to happen is the child needs to grow. Everything is in the child. I know you're changing poopy diapers right now, but it's going to change. I promise you. Things will get better. I know you wish the kid could feed himself, but it's going to get better. Because you know what? You know that everything that child needs is in them right now to be complete. Every bit of it is in that child. What does the child need to do? Just needs to grow. He needs to grow. So the Christ follower has all that is needed. All they need to do is grow. A baby has a definite genetic structure that determines how they will grow. So the believer is spiritually, genetically structured to experience the glory and the virtue of God, just to be like Jesus Christ. Because we go from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ, and one day Sam Reifkogel, you don't believe me, is going to be exactly like Jesus. It's coming. How do I know? 1 John 3:2. It says, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. How many of you thank God? Everything we need is in us. We're growing in it to become just like him. So, if his divine power and provision is available to us, how do we experience that to the fullness? If it's in us already, then how do we experience it? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, because it tells us exactly how it happens. It says, we have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. I want to read this to you out of Eugene Peterson's The Contemporary Language, The Message, 2 Peter 1:3. It says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us, watch this, by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. So what he's saying is, it's all in Sam Reifkogel. He just has to keep growing and getting close to the tower. Because there's a huge difference. How many know there's a huge difference in acquiring knowledge about Christ and actually knowing Christ? I'm telling you, there's people that know about him. They just don't know him. I know Justin Bieber. I know who he is. I know what he does. I know what he shouldn't do. I know he loves Jesus. I know, I have knowledge about him, but I'm going to tell you, I know Brenda Reifkogel. Amen. And I know Sarah Reifkogel. I know Nathan Reifkogel. I know them. And the reason why is because I have personally and intimately connected with every detail, every mountain, every valley, every joy, every sorrow. I know them intimately. And the reason why I know them intimately is because I've spent time and invested, and growth has occurred in the relationship that I do not have with Justin Bieber, that I have with this lady and those kids. That's when growth occurs. So what am I telling you? You don't get to know Jesus by accident. You can have acquired, there are people that know him generally, but they don't know him effectively. I want you to know him effectively. And you don't know Christ by accident. How many know your money doesn't just grow sitting around and stretching out? Lord, let this money grow. Let this money grow. Let this money grow. Just let this money grow. I'm going to bury it in the mason jar in the backyard. Let it grow. How many know it doesn't happen like that? It only grows when I invest it right. And you know what? When I invest my money, you know what I do? I read. I investigate. I research. I find out about the company. I find out about the CEO. I find out every little detail about that company before I make the investment. Do you know how you want to grow, Jesus? You got to make every little investment of learning, growing, studying, saying it, reading it, memorizing it, saying, Jesus, take me deep into a knowledge and relationship with you. As you invest in your relationship with Christ, this is where his power is discovered in you as you know him deeply. You're praying. You're playing praise music. Not to feel good. You're praying praise music so you can know him. You're not reading so you can just get knowledge. You're reading to know who he is and what he says about you. Power is discovered. Everybody, would you just declare, I've got his power. You've got it. You've got it. You have power. That's what he said. You share in that divine nature. And here's the last thing. You have a promise. And this is what we're going to talk about this whole series. You have a promise. So now let's go to verse 4. He said, and because, listen to this, and because of his glory and excellence, he has what, everybody? He's given us great and precious promises. Okay, that word given right there, it is the exact same Greek word, that verb that was used when he says, I've given you all the power you need. It's already in you. You got to come to know me, relationship with me, and that power gets discovered. He says, he's given you these great and precious promises. It's the same exact Greek verb there. It is a perfect passive participle describing the past action of God with the continued effectiveness of God. So he says, I didn't just do it yesterday. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. And he says, when I give you these promises, he said, they're great. That Greek word there is megas. It's where you get mega. That's why I sign all my letters, mega blessings, massive. It means great. In fact, it means greater than. Greater than. So I'm telling you that his promise is greater than the divorce. His promise is greater than the abuse. His promise is greater than the sin that you are bound in. His promise is greater than the addiction. His promise is greater than the sickness and the disease. It is greater than the problems of this world. His promise is greater. It's megas. It's mega. It's greater than. And they're precious. Precious. That Greek word is timios. It's greater. It's precious. It means more value, more expensive. It is costly. It is prized. He paid for it with his own blood so that the promise could be filled. He says they are mega great promises for you. Are you hearing this? Boy, we sing that song, that song they sung. Every song, just I was grabbing every word and letting the Spirit speak to me. Christ be magnified. Christ be magnified. Sometimes what happens is we make the problem, we make the giant so much bigger than what's going on. We make them mega and we make God many. Mega, but God's many. Mega, they're megas, he's just many. He says, no, Christ be magnified. Not the problem, not the problem, not the people, not the bitterness, not the pain. Let Christ be magnified. And how do we magnify him? The scripture tells us, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And if you say, Pastor, I just can't get it in me, then would you do this? Just start praising him in the middle of the big problems and make them many and make him megas. Make him greater than anything as you magnify the Lord. Make him bigger than all of it. Man, I'll tell you, when I start praising God, those things diminish and he gets greater because I'm getting closer to the tower that is stronger than me. How many are ready to hear some megas promises from God? So here they are. I'm just going to give them to you. And we're going to study some of them later in weeks. So here's the first thing I'm going to tell you. He gives you a megas promise that's precious that you have life in the Spirit today. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Some of you are struggling. You're being so condemned by your sinful nature. Pastor, I believe in Jesus. I'm struggling with this attraction. I'm struggling with this deal. I'm struggling with this, Pastor. I'm struggling with this addiction. I've had it since I was a teenager. And the enemy just beats you and beats you and beats you and beats you. He says, come to know me. Get closer to the tower. Let's keep growing in this because everything you need is in you to overcome this. And he says, listen, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. I'm telling you, belong to him. Get closer to him and watch him begin to give you the power to live and be controlled by the Spirit of God and not by your mind, will, emotions. You know what else you have? You have resurrection life. You have resurrection life. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus, out of his mouth, he said, I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after they die. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. How many thank God we have resurrection life? It is a promise from God. You look the enemy in the face. You know what else I have? I have heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for heaven. As much as this world seems so nice, you can take it, you can have it. I have a permanent, eternal home, and even Jesus out of his own mouth said, I got a promise for you. John 14, you remember he said himself, John 14, 1, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believed in God, believe you also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, Sam Reifkogel, there you will be also for eternity. I am telling you, this world is not my home. All the pain, all the hell you go through, all the nonsense we see in this world, every pandemic, every political ups and downs, we're all sitting there stressing out. This is not your home. Folks, I don't care how bad it gets, this is the only hell the child of God will ever experience. We go from glory to glory to glory. This is our only hell we'll ever know. Any of the pain you're in, it's the only hell you'll ever have. You have a promise from God. It's megas, bigger than your crisis, bigger than your problems. It's megas. You know what you have in this world to help you grow? You have the baptism in the Holy Spirit power of God. I know churches shy away from that, but I'm here to announce it bold and proud, because it's the only thing that makes me overcome life is the power of the Holy Spirit in Sam Reifkogel, and it's a promise. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. He said on the day of Pentecost, for this promise is for you and your children and to all that are afar off. Friends, he has not stopped giving those folks, you and me, the power of his Holy Spirit to overcome everyday life. Help me thank God we have the power of the Spirit because Jesus said it. Some of you said, man, I'm just so mad at people. Pastor, if you just knew what they did to me, you need some love in your heart that you can't produce. Pastor, I'm so depressed. I don't know what's going on. I can't even figure it out. I don't know why I'm up and down. I don't know why I'm getting so angry. Do you know that he's going to give you joy? Did you know the closer you get to him, he's going to give you peace? Pastor, I'm so stressed out. I'm just so anxious. Do you know he can give you peace? You got to come to this word. This can't be just on paper. It's got to come by life of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, look what he says. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. He gives you love when you can't love some people that have hurt you. He gives you joy when you're in such despair. He gives you peace when you're in all kinds of confusion and anxiety and depression. He gives you patience when you say, God, I need it now. He gives you kindness when people don't treat you right. He gives you goodness and he gives you faithfulness when you feel like you're about ready to give up. He gives you gentleness and he gives you self-control in the middle of the trial that you're facing, a spiritual battle. He gives you all of it by the Spirit. How many know, friends, we're going to get closer to the cell tower. He's going to give us more. More power, great and precious promises. All right, Sarah and worship team, y'all can come up now. She says, when do I come up? I said, I don't know. I'll just say it. And you just y'all just come. In old school church, they said, all who will, come to the choir. We don't need y'all coming up here. Please don't. We've heard you singing. Don't come up here. You said, Pastor, I need strength. I don't want this just to be words that just bounce off your ears. I want you to go write it down. You're just feeling weak. You need to write it down. You need to memorize it. You need to study it. You say, I just need strength. I love what Psalm 18:32 says. God's arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. Pastor, I need guidance. Then Jesus said this. You need guidance? This is his promise, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Do you know he can start prompting you and giving you direction for the future with such a peaceful voice, the Holy Spirit? Pastor, I need healing. You better believe it. Don't make these just words you've heard a bajillion times. The church, let the Spirit of God make it alive in you. Make it alive in you by the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself, Jesus Christ, bore your sins in his body on the cross. so that we might die to sin and live righteously. Come on, can everybody say these last few words out loud? Come on, let's say it together. By his wounds you have been healed. Make it alive in you. Put it on a sticky note. Put it somewhere. Here's what I want you to do in this journey over the next few weeks. I want you to go home. Those of you at home, I want you to go get your Bible out. I want you to go find you a promise for your problem through these whole next weeks. And I'm going to give you an assignment to write it down. I want you to memorize it. And when the enemy starts coming after you and you feel that fear come on you, you feel that anxiety, that is not Jesus. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is not him. That is not him. That is not him. You take that word and you start speaking it. You start saying it. You start believing it. You get closer to the cell signal, because when I start feeling that, I'm getting away from the cell signal. Like I get closer to the strong tower that is stronger than Sam Reifkogel. And you feel that temptation, you start getting closer and closer. Don't let the spirit of condemnation push you out. You get closer and closer and closer. You know what the Spirit of God told me? Some of you are sitting up front closer, literally, physically, you've been coming closer because you're needing more of him and you want more of him and he's going to give you more of him. Amen. You've been intentionally coming closer physically to the front because you know you need him. And no condemnation is going to take you, brother. No memory from the past is going to take you or take you or you. You're getting closer and closer, and that stuff is just fading and fading and fading. Sometimes you feel guilty because you don't even remember it anymore. You don't even feel bad about it anymore. He's taking it. Some of you are physically, literally coming closer to the altars. When you worship, some of you are physically, literally coming up because it's speaking to what God is doing inside of your spirit. And you don't care what anybody thinks. He healed you. Over these next few weeks, I want you to find it. Don't just let me preach it. Don't just let me teach it, because it's going to become letter to you, and I'll have to do something else next week to impress you to get you to return. But when the Spirit starts making it alive in you, you get excited over just one word, Jesus. Oh, you go crazy. Because it's coming alive in you. It means it's really becoming life to you, Michelle. It's becoming life to you. Life. But you got to understand it. How do we get this? By knowing him. Whew. Sarah, what kind of song y'all got? Got something good? Okay. She's always, y'all are always good. I love you guys. Y'all are just, we just love y'all. Just love y'all. Your hearts are so pure. So I got to tell this story. So when we're in revival up here, some of you don't have no context, but I was here with my family in revival for about 5 years, preaching every Friday and Sunday night. I was an evangelist. And I came one Sunday and ended up staying Sunday after Sunday, Sunday and Monday. It just went on and on. I know. How'd you do that? I have no idea. We just did it. But during that time, Brenda's mom had passed away. She had to have some kind of a bypass, and her body didn't respond right to it. But anyway, her mother had passed away. And so they just renovated a house, and they put all this on credit card because they wanted to get points for it and everything. And just about 6 months before that, her mom had bought a car. Didn't let Charles get involved this time, because Charles really got stressed out with buying and selling cars, and it was terrible. You didn't want to be with him when it came to buying cars. So she just went out herself and bought it. Well, he just had all these bills piling up. He didn't run the finances. She ran the finances, didn't she, Brenda? And so he said, Brenda, I need you to help me out. And so Brenda's going through this, and he said, you just got to keep making payments on all this stuff. And so Brenda keeps coming across this thing, and she sees this little charge on the statement, the finance statement, with this car payment she just bought $2.50, $2.50, $2.50, $2.50. She goes, what is this crazy $2.50? Couldn't even explain it on the, what was on the bill, $2.50. Charles just thinking, I'm just going to keep paying for the car, keep the car, just, you know, pay on it. She calls finance department. She goes, hey, I see this. What's the $2.50 for? She goes, that's insurance. If anything happened to the person that bought it, it's paid for. She goes, it's paid for? Yeah, she goes, my mom passed away. She goes, well, the car's paid for. You mean my dad didn't know a dime? Didn't know a dime. You mean it's always been there the whole time? It's been there the whole time. She said, you know what? If she did it on this, I wonder if she did it on other stuff. She goes over to the credit card with all these renovations on a credit card, packed up because they wanted the points. She called him up, said, hey, by chance, yeah, it's on there too. Well, my mom, she passed away. She goes, well, all that stuff's wiped out. You don't know a dime. All right. You don't know a dime. And boy, when Brenda told me that story, Charles would have been paying on that and kept paying it, and they would have not said a word. He'd have kept paying on it and paying on it and paying on it and struggling and stressing, struggling. How am I going to make the payment? I'm going to make the payment. But it was already provided for. The problem was because he didn't know it. He didn't study it. He didn't call. He didn't ask other people, what happened? What happened to you? He just kept believing it was going to be. And I can tell you the same thing with God's promises. Some of you think you got to be this way and it's got to stay this way. But I'm telling you, there is a Savior who made a promise and a guarantee, and he went all the way to the cross and he made the payment for you far in advance. The division in your family and the separation with your kids and the separation with all the dysfunction doesn't have to be that way. Do you know he made a provision that he can show you the path of restoration and love, that he can start putting things together? Do you know that it's already there? But someone's thinking that's just the way it's going to be. What you need to do is get around some other folks that said, you know what, the same thing was in my family, in my marriage, and can I tell you where God brought me today? And can I tell you he can do the same for your family if you'll just start learning and trusting God? Do you know that? You know, there's some of you that are in panic and despair and brokenness, thoughts of suicide. Do you know there are other people that Jesus paid the price for on the cross that you can be free? And you can sit there and they'll tell you, can I tell you that God brought me through the depression and he brought me through the despair and he brought me through the thoughts of suicide? And if God set me free, you need to know that I've already had it happen to me and he can do it for you. The problem is that some of us still are living in it because we haven't listened and we haven't learned that he already paid the price. The payment was made on the cross a long time ago. My family's always been broke. We always filed bankruptcy. It's the way we always did business. Do you know that's in here? If you'll study and you'll show that he's the God that will supply all your needs and he'll show you how to steward, he'll show you how to handle that money, right? And you don't have to be. In fact, you can be the first person in your family that's ever bought a home and ever had a college degree and a master's, even a doctorate. You can even have it. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that? And there's a mindset on you that this is always the way it's going to be, always going to be. Well, my father had problems with alcoholism, and I had problems with alcoholism, and my father smoked a joint every day, and he smoked a joint all the time, and this is the way it is. Do you know it doesn't have to be that way? Do you know at the cross of Jesus Christ, you have all the power to break that cycle off your family? Do you know that? It can be broken today. Do you know that? Do you know that? Well, mama had this, and mama's mama had this, and mama's mama's had this, and the doctor said I have it. Do you know that it's already been paid for? If you will look in there, and he says, by my stripes, I bore it. And every time they hit me with that whip, every time the blood flung from my body, when I hung on that cross, I was thinking of you, and I said, I made the payment that by my stripes, you can be healed. Do you know that? But what voice is in your mind saying, yeah, but... It doesn't deny the existence of the problem. That's foolishness. But because of his promise, because of his cross, because of his blood, you are well able to overcome it. And it comes crashing down. So I got a word for you. How about you just right where you are, lift your voice and shout and say, God, I believe. I just believe. I just believe. I just believe. I just believe. Would you stand with me, everyone? I want to read this to you, and I want everyone to just listen for a moment. But I want you to listen to the rest of 2 Peter verse 4. It says, these are the promises that enable you to share, and one translation says, to be partakers. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. His nature is to forgive, to love, to give wisdom, to give direction, to give peace, to give divine healing. You partake in that divine nature. Watch this. And escape the world's corruption. Literally means to rot or decay. It's rotting and decaying. To escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So here's what he says. He shows you what to share in and what not to share in. He is clearly telling you, you take this, but don't you take that. And I wonder how many here today is you're wanting God, but you want to take a little bit of the world and you want to keep this little part of your life and you're wanting God to perform over here, but you want to keep this over there. And he says, I'm clearly telling you, you got to get closer to the cell tower, and this is the one thing that you're partaking in that you need to turn loose of and let it go. It may be someone taking you into something, and you don't need a preacher. You don't need me. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit loves you so much, he's talked to you about this long before I even said it. So what I'm trying to do is just to tell you, you can trust what he just told you, that if you want this, you need to stop taking this. There are words and people of doubt, people of discouragement. He said, if you want this, you can't take this. I want you to share in this with me, but I don't want you taking this. Don't take this. How many are ready to take and taste and see that he's good? He's good.